This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go Friday. What's up? Welcome in. We're Grant and Danny. It's November 19th, 2021, and your boys are back in the saddle, ready for a big day. Talking ball ahead of week 11 in the NFL. 3 o'clock, Nick Wilson does radio in Charlotte, scouts the opponent with us. We're getting ready for the Ron Rivera return. 31 employees in D.C. going back to Carolina.
The reunion. It's going to be catered. We have a couple different fun activities. You know, we're going to play a couple party games, have everybody just have a great old time going through the old stomping grounds, the old neighborhoods. We're going to get together at the old haunts. What a backdrop. What a story. Nice little appetizer last night with some sports. Thursday night football. The Falcons still haven't scored, basically in the month of November, numbers approximate. And the Wizards, minus two starters, despite the fact I thought I saw Quentin Mayo said that Daniel Gafford was going to play, but Gafford didn't play. And so they were down two starters without Dinwiddie in the second half of a back-to-back. Next thing you know, they're down to Miami, who's pretty good. They play them again on Saturday. But the Patriots, dude, the Patriots are just bullying people right now at this point.
Yeah, let's start right there on this Football Friday on G&D, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. Why don't we just pick things up with Thursday Night Football? We'll get into Washington, Carolina, look ahead to week 11 in just a second. But the Patriots are going to be a handful. Someone's got to deal with them. This is old school. This is Belichickian before Brady took flight as an elite passer and they went and got weapons like Randy Moss on offense. They are playing a lot of defense. They're running the football. This is just one of those teams you don't want to have to deal with. They're super physical. You're going to feel that you played them Thursday and Friday after the game. Mac Jones is right now just the ultimate game manager. He was 22 of 26, a lot of short, safe passes, 207 yards and a touchdown. He was feeling his oats a little bit and took a shot downfield on a heat check. First pick in a couple of weeks for him. But they got two running backs who can run the ball. Ramondre Stevenson looks like a gem that they've unearthed. And Damian Harris, who we all knew out of Alabama was going to be really good, combined with Stevenson for nearly 120 rushing yards on 22 attempts last night, as they shut out the Falcons 25-0. Matt Ryan looked 100 years old. He threw two picks, got sacked a bunch, barely got over 150 passing yards on about 30 attempts. And I've never seen this in my life. Not one time have I ever seen this. If this has happened, somebody look this up, call in, you get to come on the air and tell me about it. Three quarterbacks threw picks on three consecutive drives for the same team. Have you ever seen that?
Not to my recollection.
Matt Ryan had an interception go off the rails, and so Arthur Smith said, okay, I've seen enough. Come on over here and have a seat. Josh Rosen, you're up. Three passes later, he throws a terrible pick. All right, I've seen enough from you two. You're going to the bench. And then Felipe Franks, who I don't even know how he's in the league. I thought he was terrible in college, but he is in the league.
Here he is.
And he threw a pick on his first pass. Three straight drives, a span of like seven throws.
Yeah, good thing they kept three quarterbacks active, because what if it doesn't work out?
Seriously, do you think that's ever happened?
I feel like it probably happened in Maryland when they were playing linebackers at quarterback, when like a guy would go down mid-game. But
Joe Gibbs style, though, up here in this league, National Football League, has it ever happened that on three straight drives, three different quarterbacks threw a pick?
I certainly couldn't pull it if it has. But man, oh man. Again, Matt Ryan, I just stand by this. Can't do it anymore. Seems like a very nice guy, good leader. If everything is 72 and sunny, he can be okay. It very rarely is in this league. He is washed. The game is passing by. It costs $1 trillion. I can't believe there are people that were advocating at any point where maybe he shakes loose, and that's the answer for Washington. No thank you, the hardest of passes.
The reason that people get caught up on Matt Ryan is that if there are games where he is not pressured, he can still dice you up. It just doesn't happen very often, and he is prototypical unable to help himself, get out of the way, just there's a guy near me, so I'll fall over Eli Manning style. His sacks all look gross at this point.
Yeah.
He looks like, oh, man, he's really old. Did you see that sack? He looked 55.
Like, what's wrong with that folding chair? Oh, that's a man.
19 of 28, 153, two interceptions, rating of 51. It was kind of gross. Now, I want to say that I need to preface my next comment, okay? Hear me out. I really like Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is playing really, really well. What I've seen from him so far is that Mac Jones looks like a poised, competent, well ahead of his experience level, decent, game-managing NFL quarterback. We all need to settle down a little bit, though, on the Mac Jones coverage right now. What is going on here? I don't know if you're seeing this like I am, Danny.
Oh, I am, for sure, yeah.
People are acting like Mac Jones is the greatest rookie quarterback who's ever lived. Like, go back to last year. What Justin Herbert did pummeled what Mac Jones is doing. I like Mac Jones. I'm not trying to knock Mac Jones. I think it's because all the other rookies have been bad or have had really, really poor results. But I'm seeing national columns about how Bill Belichick pulled one over on the rest of the league. You know, these TV segments about how Mac Jones is already working his way into the top 10 among quarterbacks. Everybody needs to take a deep breath and just relax. He goes 20 of 27 or whatever and is very, very accurate, short, and safe, and by and large protects the football. This is what you should be doing. They put him in a great spot. Play great defense, run the football, don't ask for a ton out of him. So if your analysis on Mac Jones is, that guy looks the part. He looks like a couple years from now, he could be the real deal. I'm excited for his future, and the Patriots look like they got a good one. Check. But there's like a rush to crown this guy right now that I don't quite understand. You got to help me with.
Well, it's because they're winning, so everyone's looking for their story and their angle. Here was mine in the spring. Wasted opportunity by Washington to not move up to 14 to draft Mac Jones. I wish we'd done it then. All through the spring, I wish we'd done it. When he supplanted Cam Newton and they sent Cam Newton packing, I wish they'd done it. When he was out there, just as you said, playing a very basic, simple game at this point. Just completing an incredibly high percentage of his passes, accurate, on time. You can't just blitz him and rattle him. He dumps it off and just does basic quarterback things right now. There is a higher ceiling that I think will be there as they get more weapons and he gets more and more comfortable, but he's going to set the rookie completion passing percentage record. He's going to beat Dak Prescott, who walked into an amazing situation a handful of years ago when he got his start doing something similar to this. This is what you do. You go into a good offense, a good system, a good setup where they went and got a bunch of pieces around him, and he is not asked to do a ton. The crowning of him is interesting. I wish we had him. I still do. Every time he plays well, I get angry at Ron Rivera and company that they didn't make any effort to go up and get him. That said, it is puzzling a little bit where we've decided Belichick fooled the league. I don't know that he did. They stayed pat at 15. And
he fell under their lap.
Fell under their lap, kind of.
Yeah.
If they traded up to 3 and done it, you go, wow, what a move.
You
but
know
I don't
that
know.
I'm constantly interested in and intrigued by why certain guys become the guy and others don't. I'm always just kind of looking at how the sausage is made with the coverage of certain players. That's all. But they've won 5 in a row, and maybe people are just working back from that, and it's a Mac Jones
love affair. It definitely is, yeah.
And he should be getting all positive ink. I mean, he's played really, really well. But in those 5 wins in a row, they have allowed 0, 7, 6, 13 points in 4 of those games. They've allowed more than 13 points one time in their 5-game winning streak. This is about their defense. It's about their running game. And yes, it's about a young quarterback who looks the part. And like you, am I jealous? Of course. Do I wish Washington had Mac Jones? Absolutely. This moment right now, I think he could help them a ton. Now, coming in here, he wouldn't have won his last five games. They don't have that defense. They don't have that running game. It's a whole different situation. But I've seen enough just from him to feel like, okay, if this is the starting point, fast forward 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, what might he be capable of? And shocker, it's the Patriots. It's Bill Belichick. They're smart. They know what they're doing. And they seem to have gotten a guy that can play in this league. So I give them credit for that. A few minutes ago, Matt Rhule met with reporters in Carolina at the practice facility where the Panthers are putting the finishing touches on their prep for the football team. Matt Rhule has made it official. He has named Cam Newton his starting quarterback for Sunday's game.
But then he also did some things where he was like, he'll take the first play, but P.J. Walker's going to play too. But we're pretty much saying Cam Newton's the starter.
Yeah, that's interesting. How cute do you think they're going to get here? Because he said, he used the word probably when he talked about P.J. Walker getting reps. But he's made it pretty clear this week, it seems like, regardless of who starts, both are going to be on the field. Is this going to be a series-by-series situation? Is it possible that this was much ado about nothing and Cam is on the field like for the first snap, first few snaps, and Walker actually throws the ball 20 of the 30 times they throw it?
Yeah, is it like ceremonial? Because everyone's back in town and it's Ron is here and all, you know, all the Carolina guys are here. I have no idea.
So this is the Jeff Fisher, send all of the guys you picked with Washington's picks out to midfield, you think?
Yeah, well, great troll job on your way to 7-9. But I think ultimately this is Cam Newton's day and maybe they supplement with P.J. Walker. That's my guess.
I think you're probably right. I've always been surprised by how often coaches are willing to coach against the media during the week and coach against public information getting out. What I mean by that is, there were times when I was covering the football team during the 4 years of Shanahan where we'd get to go down to the practice field and you watch warm-ups, you watch stretches, then you get to watch drill work, and you normally got a couple series occasionally or the early part of starting to watch team drills. And I can't tell you how many times when we were down on the field for those few reps we got, somebody would be, say, at left guard on a Friday, and you're going, okay, well, he's going to start. And then come Sunday, it was something different. Which tells you, as soon as you guys walk off the field, hobble up that hill, portly butts back in seats in the media room, Shanahan would go, okay, let's do the real thing now. But you're at that point, please get the guy reps that needs the reps. Like, how about we just prepare the person that's actually going to be on the field with the most snaps possible?
Indeed.
Don't worry about what we're going to see and what we might tweet or what we might
say
on the radio.
Ben Standing might tweet out that Wes Schweitzer's
a
guard.
But coaches do that. They really believe it's a significant help if they say something or do something all week. So my point, I guess, is that Matt Rhule may very well have just done all this to try to pretend like it's a Cam Newton day, and then he gets the first couple plays or the first drive, and it's actually more P.J. Walker at quarterback. I wouldn't bet on it, but I guess it's possible.
I suppose it is. And there's also this thing where if you're going to bother making the announcement, that you're under no obligation to do so, right?
No, but my thing on that is, why did he say so early in the week? I'm pretty sure it was his Monday presser.
That he would take
right after
the
game.
Yeah, first rep.
He was asked about Cam, and he goes, yeah, he's going to get a majority of our first team reps this week. He's in line to be the guy. Why would he have said that? There was absolutely no need. That goes against every head coach I've ever heard the day after a game. If you're making a quarterback change,
yeah,
the last thing you would do is announce it hours after the game, which is basically what he did.
Puzzling to me. I never know how these guys are going to operate, because on one hand, you're like, they treat it like it's nuclear state secrets, like it's the most important bit of kept information of the world. And then the other time, they just can't wait to tell you something. I don't know. But for the sake of the topic, for the sake of the discussion, it seems like Cam Newton is going to either take the majority or be the guy with the occasional package supplement from P.J. Walker.
Which shocks me, because Walker was 22 of 29. There's nothing sexy about it. I think he threw for like $167. Had one pick, could have been at least one more, maybe even two more, if you go back and watch that game. But at least he did what they asked of him to do in that offense. They kept their offense on the field. They kept the chains moving. They didn't average more than 4.9 yards per play, but they got to run 70 plays because they were getting three here, four there. Occasionally Walker, Cam Newton, running it, you know, six carries from their quarterbacks for 20 yards. Their game was a lot like Washington's final drive. You know, you need five, you get six. You need three, you get four. You just stay on the field, and you out-possess the Cardinals last week, 70 plays to 53 plays. But I thought they'd go back to Walker. I thought he was okay enough to have earned that. Here's my take, and I think people will think it's hot. It's not. It's very comfortably temperatured. You can wash your hands under this faucet. You don't have to worry about burning those palms. I would rather, if I'm Jack Del Rio, see Cam Newton on the field than P.J. Walker this week. The more snaps for Cam, the more comfortable I am. Not to say he's not going to present some problems running the football, doing some of the power stuff Logan Paulson told us yesterday Washington should anticipate. But throwing the football, I think Walker, who's been with those receivers practicing every day all year, probably better prepared to go out and throw the ball well than Cam Newton is, who's been there for 10 days, not even 7 days. Has thrown passes to those receivers a couple dozen times compared to the thousands now, literally, of P.J. Walker probably dating back to the summer. I'd rather Cam play. What do you think?
So, I hear what you're saying. I think even more highly of Cam Newton than you do. I'm not saying he's a world beater. There's a reason he's unemployed until week number 10. But he played with Christian McCaffrey. He played with DJ Moore. He knows a number of these guys. Well, yeah, but they're sort of seem to be running Cam Newton-y type stuff if you're going to have Cam Newton
go do it. If they're going to convert a bunch of things in a week, maybe. That's fair.
Yeah, I think a guy that's played in this league is better than an XFL guy at this point. I think Cam Newton isn't any good. I don't think P.J. Walker's particularly good, but I'm a little bit more scared of the guy with a track record of being able to hurt some people in terms of, you know, just a few on-field things, whether that's, as you said, power stuff, whether it's, you know, the ball handling of some of the different fakes and getting guys off balance, goal line type stuff, just being a threat. I think a guy that's been around scares me a little bit more.
So let's get deeper into this next. We got Nick Wilson, who's on the radio in Charlotte, coming up at 3. We can ask him about this. We'll make our confidence points picks and update the standings for you as a show. Loser's going to have to be the station intern for a day. We'll do that at 3:25. But let's tackle this in a little more detail, and let's open up the Gambit DC listener lines at 800-636-1067. Cam's going to start, according to the head coach of the Panthers, Matt Rhule. Let's say he plays the majority of snaps. Let's say that comes along with starting. Good thing or bad thing for the Washington football team? Now, I guess if we're picking sides, you're saying bad thing, I'm saying good thing. Is Cam starting over Walker good or bad for Del Rio, for this defense, for Washington? 800-636-1067 is the number. Gambit DC listener lines, bet, play, win with Gambit DC. Brought to you by the DC Lottery. It's a Football Friday, and we are just getting started.
Still learning. Still learning. So, you know, it's some things that, you know, he presents. There's some things that I present. There's some things that Sean presents. Some things that, you know, Coach Rhule presents. And, you know, it's taking a village. You know, I was trying to be of however service to, you know, PJ on Sunday. Still will keep that same energy here moving forward. And whatever is asked of me, I'm willing to do, and that's what I plan on doing.
That was Cam Newton. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. I've always dug Cam Newton, the dude. I think he seems just like a cool guy. You want to be in the building with him. You want to be a running back on that offense or a wide out with him. The Cam Newton, the player, does nothing for me anymore. It's just been a long time since he could throw the ball the way that you need to at that position. And that's why I'm going out on a limb here a little bit, because if he torches Washington, it'll look pretty silly come Monday. But I really would rather face him every down than P.J. Walker, who I think can probably throw the ball a little bit better. I want to know what you guys think about that, 800-636-1067. Danny disagrees. One guy it sounds like that might be on my team is Logan Paulson. We had him on the show yesterday, and Logan talked about what he would be preparing for if he was Jack Del Rio this week.
If I'm the Washington football team, I'm getting ready for Cam Newton to run 12 to 15 quarterback powers in this game, 5 to 10 zone reads with Christian McCaffrey, lots of bubble bubble screens, lots of screens to the running back, and then take the occasional shot downfield. So if I'm telling these linebackers, these defensive linemen, I'm like, put your mouthpiece in, put your neck roll on, because he's not going to beat. Let's make him beat us with his arm, because right now he has not shown a consistent ability to do that in, you know, almost a year of football. So that's what I'm kind of looking at, and if I'm Jack Del Rio, that's what I'm pointing to here.
It's been a couple years since he's been able to throw the ball consistently, and some even might, if you're with a really critical eye, might say longer than that, back to 2018 when he completed 68% of his passes, throwing pretty short and running some of this power stuff. So I'm not saying anybody's a good passer, but the fact that he's been around and is so physical, I think is going to present a bit of a problem.
I think for you it's more an indictment of Walker than an endorsement of Cam. Is that putting words in your mouth?
It's 50-50. Okay. It's not as if I think either is great. I don't want either here. I have no interest in either. But for the purpose of this weekend, a little bit of a nod to Cam from experience.
I think one is young and has some of the same skills. Now, he's not as powerful as Cam. And probably throws a little better, and that's Walker for me. But the question for you guys, Gambit DC listener lines, is it a good thing or bad thing for Washington that Cam's starting and maybe they'll major in Cam over Walker? Let's go to Mike in Culpeper. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
Hey, not much. I think that it's a blessing for us that Cam Newton is starting, honestly. I mean, basically, if we run the same defense that we just ran last week against Tampa Bay, Cam Newton ain't going to pass it over the top of us. We just need to concentrate on, I forgot his name that quick. But like you said, watch for the bubble screens and Cam on the run. And, I mean, the other guy, Paul Walker, I mean, whatever his name is.
P.J. Walker. Might as well be Paul Walker, Fast and the Furious.
Lance Arbor.
Right,
from,
exactly.
From Varsity Blues.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. I actually love what he said about the game plan. My brother-in-law was at the house last night. We were watching all Thursday Night Football. And he said, how would you defend Cam? And I said, I would play bump right at the line of scrimmage. I'm jamming everybody, and I'm doing what they did against Tampa. I'm playing man on the outside. I'm trying to clog things up close and intermediate. You want to beat me, you better go over the top to do it. Now, that's not exactly on the back end how they did it against the Bucs, where most teams all season long have kind of played Tampa 2 and said, you're not going to come over the top. But the point is, outside, you're playing at the line of scrimmage, I'm jamming, and I'm not giving you like 5 and 6 yards and cushions. I'm just not doing that. Tony's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Tony, good thing, bad thing, they got to face Cam Newton this weekend.
Well, I'm not on your side on that. I think it's going to be a bad thing. Cam is 4-1 in his career against Washington. P.J. Walker has 8 career games in the NFL. And he's 5'11", and with Cam 6'5", 250, it's almost like facing J.J. Watt, but yet he can run and throw the ball. So I'd rather go against P.J. Walker than an inexperienced guy.
Reasonable. The 4-1 record won't help him on Sunday. I can promise you that. There were some really good Carolina teams that beat some very okay or worse Washington teams.
That's all true.
During those windows. I bet you they were favored in a lot of those games.
That Cam Newton ain't walking through the door, by the way. It's the guy that was available until week 10.
Here's the script, I think, for Carolina's offense to look really good and to beat the football team. Because for the record, like, I could beat up on their offense all I want to, and a lot of people are all week. But the fact is, they just played a great Cardinals defense, and they hung 34 this past week. So they did some things okay. The script is what Logan just said.
Yeah.
You stay ahead of the chains, you're able to run the ball, and Washington does a bad job getting him to the ground. Go back to some of the Daniel Jones games against this team.
That's right.
If Daniel Jones can do that, you don't think Cam Newton can rip off 30-yard run here, 15-yard run there? They've really struggled sometimes with mobile QBs. In comparing him to Walker, I would just say, I think P.J. Walker could do that too. I just also
Walker right now is quicker than Newton is.
He's twitchier. I just also think he might actually be able to make more plays with his arm. But if he could, they probably would be playing him. I am shocked that they're going to Newton this fast. I think it's a kind of a publicity thing, to be completely honest with you. But they are playing for the playoffs. So they're not just making this decision to put butts in seats. They're 5-5.
Yeah, it's not only to sell tickets.
This second, they're the last team in the NFC. Ryan's in Culpeper. What's up, Ryan?
Guys, whenever they start Cam Newton, I get a gleam. There's a gleam. I get a gleam when I see Cam Newton starting on the sideline. I'll take him every day starting against us. Go Heineke.
Ooh, he's on the Heineke train. Guys. That is Ron Rivera's hit single that swept the Washington, D.C. market.
I want to hear guys again today at some point. I haven't heard in a while. Doesn't have to be right now. Does that right now?
Well, if you got it, play it right now.
I need some energy. I need a little juice.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Guys. starring Ron Rivera in stores right now. You can pick up the CD. That's right, the CD.
Well, you guys really want to go there.
We do, Ron.
I want to go.
Only selling it at
guys,
Best Buy.
Guys.
We're going back to Charlotte, baby.
You got to check the liner notes for special shout outs.
Everybody!
Guys.
Getting the caravan
going.
31 players, coaches, and execs.
Going back to Charlotte.
I had a hard time getting that alarm scraped off. The sensor from my purchase Tower Records.
It's also available at your local Sam Goody.
Oh, it is? I didn't know that. Thank you.
Everybody!
All right, thank you, Darius.
Gets me in a good place.
Thank you, Ron.
More importantly, thank you to Coach Rivera.
Yeah.
Big weekend for Rivera and 30 other members of the team who are going to be heading home. I'm coming home again. You should do all homecoming songs the rest of the day, Darius. Mo's in Largo on G&D. What's up, Mo?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, buddy?
Grant, I couldn't be on your side anymore.
I've been feeling
this way ever since the rumors have been coming out that Cam would be starting. Okay? The man hasn't played in four months now? He's got no rapport, no legitimate time with the receiving corps. His release is slow, okay? And to think that he can just come out of retirement, come back on the field, and be as physical a player as he has been in the past, in which in the past he still couldn't sustain that physical play, is crazy. So, yeah, go ahead and try him out there. Go right ahead. I got us rolling them boys this weekend. Thanks, fellas.
Now, Mo. This is where you and I part ways.
I don't know if we have that in us. Do we have that in us?
I want that confidence. Give me some of what my guy just ordered. I don't have the good guys rolling them. I'll tell you right now, a little sneaky ahead of schedule thought. I might have them winning. I might have the football team winning this weekend.
You got the lads going home and coming home with the dub?
I feel a lot better about this game with Cam Newton getting every snap. Now, I might have to eat some crow. Someone can scoop up some crow off the side of the road and bring it in here. I might have to somehow find a way to swallow it down on Monday if Cam goes nuts. But if Cam's...
I don't think he's going nuts.
If he runs for like 116 yards in a win, that's how they beat them. The only way I eat crow is if he's out there and he looks like a quarterback throwing the football, which is not going to happen. When he throws, Danny, tell people what I'm doing right now. This is what he does now.
Grant is standing up.
A lot of people listening may not have watched his four throws. By the way, he had three completions for 8 yards. So congratulations on that this past weekend. But this is what it looked like. I'm not joking.
Grant is standing. He is leaning back and attempting to throw a four, but it's hard for him to go. He's like the Tin Man without oil. If I only had a heart.
His hand, when he releases the ball, is like below his shoulder.
Yeah.
It's like if Phil Rivers had a worse throwing motion. It's gotten bad. And I'm not trying to joan. He has a shoulder that I think was degenerative and doesn't allow him to do it.
He got hit so many times. You were robbed of one of the league's all-time playmakers because of injury. It happened. But the fact is that it did happen. He is not a good thrower of the football right now. I'm not saying that he is. The way they're winning isn't with Cam Newton going nuts. The way they're winning is a defense that hunts. Yep. Two bookend pass rushers that are excellent, forcing a turnover. Christian McCaffrey getting 31 touches. Chuba Hubbard mixing in 10 or 11. And maybe one catch and run where DJ Moore breaks a tackle. It's 16-13. This will be a rock fight.
They should have signed Cam. Hear me out. They should have acquired him.
Carolina, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the they, not the Washington
Football. I want to make sure there was a distinction.
Carolina should have brought him in to do exactly what he did this past weekend. And after this past weekend, what should have happened is Matt Rhule said, we love this. We got a new red zone weapon, and you don't know when we're going to use him. So prepare for him. But to just say, okay, a week later, you're the starting quarterback, I'm stunned. Chris in D.C., you're on the fan. What's up, buddy?
Hello, yeah. How you doing? I'm just caught. So, Cam, I'm not afraid of Cam at all, actually. Like, he won't throw the ball down the field. This is what I think is really going to happen. So, if Cam starts the game and some kind of way they end up leading, he's going to finish the game because then they're just going to keep running it down our throat. But if we take the lead and they need to try to catch up, Cam is going to get pulled because then he's going to start trying to make plays. We may turn him over. And PJ is going to come in, and I think he's way better than Cam Newton at this point.
Appreciate you, buddy. I don't know if PJ Walker's way better than anyone, but I'm on your side in saying he's got to be able to give you more. Also, how disrespectful is it to the entire process that this guy has been at camp, he's been at the preseason, he's done everything with you all year long, he's getting first-team reps, and you're going, oh, that doesn't really matter that much. This guy, who hasn't been particularly good in a few years, is better than you. I mean, if you're PJ Walker, you're going, wait a second.
Yeah, it's not a league that rewards that. You know, it's not an era of feelings.
But I'm not talking about feelings. I'm talking about you've been telling me I can do this, Matt. You've been saying I can play in this league. This is now my chance. I had to wait forever because you traded for Sam Darnold, and Sam Darnold was awful, but you weren't willing to bench him, so I had to wait for his injury. Now I finally get my opportunity, and you're bringing in that dude? That's a slap in my face. So an extra motivated PJ Walker. I don't know how much that helps. He was legit in the XFL. You sleep, Danny. XFL superstar, PJ Walker.
I didn't happen to see it.
You missed it. You were busy rooting against the league. But that's all right. You got what you wanted. It folded. Everybody's happy except all the people that lost jobs. Grant and Danny on the Fan. You got a thought on Cam Newton? We'll take it. I want to get into Christian McCaffrey and the role he'll play. Looks like he is back to full speed. We'll do that next. Nick Wilson, Charlotte Radio at 3. Get to the bottom of the Ron Rivera return. And as soon as we come back on G&D, we'll tell you what our best games of the Sunday slate are. Our favorite games on the docket this weekend. We'll do that next on the Fan. Opportunities to win Caps tickets on Grant and Danny today. We'll be giving them away at 5:45. We'll be giving them away at the start of the 6 o'clock hour before we get out of here. So at the end of our show, if you got to go before 5:45, you better come back. Ideally, just keep on listening. We'll help you have the best chance to win Caps tickets to Wednesday night's game against Montreal ahead of Thanksgiving. With that, welcome back, G&D on the Fan. Nick Wilson, Radio in Charlotte, going to join us at 3. We are preparing for a Sunday clash in Carolina. Ron Rivera has taken the football team down to Carolina, where he was the coach, until he was ousted. Such a weird set of events, by the way. I went back and watched that game where Washington blew the Panthers' doors off all game long, but it was actually pretty close in the way of the score. They rushed for 100 yards with Darius Geis, if you remember that guy.
Oh, yeah.
100 yards with Adrian Peterson. Dwayne Haskins was the starter. That was the day Rivera got fired. And you just fast forward now, and Kyle Allen was the quarterback of the Panthers that day.
Because Carolina said, you know what, we've had enough of this. That's as low as it gets. We lose like that to that team, no more.
But it's going to be a wacky set of circumstances. And it's one of those games around the league everyone's paying attention to, oddly enough. Despite the records, Washington 3-6, Carolina just 5-5. But I wanted to look at some of the other really good games in football this weekend. So here are some of the best, in my opinion, and you see if I left anything off this list. Business really starts booming in the 4 o'clock window.
It does indeed, sir.
The 4 o'clock window this weekend is going to be awesome. So I'll start with the Bengals and the Raiders, both 5-4. Someone's getting a 6-4, and someone is 5-5 and going in the wrong direction. It feels like Vegas could be that team because of the Henry Ruggs saga, John Gruden leaving. You expected the bloom to come off the rose there eventually. But both of these teams at one point in time were front runners in their division, kind of the better stories in the AFC, top of the conference for a week at a time in the last month. And now they're both taking on water, and one of them's going to fall to 500. Huge game for the Bengals and the Raiders. 4:05 East time kickoff in Vegas.
Massive for both. Both happen to be in divisions that don't have much separation. Baltimore came back to the pack at 6-3 now, so Cincinnati's not out of it when it comes to them. You look at the Raiders, as you said, Kansas City's now top of that division at 6-4, but the Raiders are still in it at 5-4. Someone's going to be 5-5 and in a bad spot in a really crowded marketplace.
Speaking of Kansas City, the Chiefs are playing in a great game this weekend.
This is my one seed, man.
This is it. 7-2 Cowboys, 6-4 Chiefs.
Get right, Chiefs. Here we go.
4:25 East time kickoff. This is your Joe Buck, Troy Aikman. They got like 15 sideline reporters working this game. I think they got Rinaldi and Aaron Andrews and maybe Christina Pink. Everyone's going to be there. They're throwing all of their assets at the wall. This is the big game of the week in the league. Dallas with the win gets to 8-2, but Kansas City just quietly, while everyone keeps trying to shovel dirt, last few weeks just keep winning football games. Never pretty. Really gross win against Green Bay. Some ugly performances. Despite their offense not being what it's supposed to, they just keep winning. If they get this win, they're 7-4, they're top of the West, and they got a little wind at their sails.
Yeah, would you want to see them? Would you want to see them if, you know, not as the 1 or 2 seed, but if you're one of those middle of the pack teams in the first round of the playoffs? No, thank you.
Of course not.
Yeah.
But for what it's worth, I think the Cowboys beat them on Sunday. This would be a statement win for the Chiefs, though. They don't really have a win yet where you say, okay, they're arrived, they're back. Like that Packers game, you feel like if Rodgers played, they would have lost it. Even this past week. Nice little win, but the Raiders are going in the wrong direction. I really believe this would be the first time if they win the game where I would feel like I don't worry about them anymore.
I agree with that.
This is Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, and the Chiefs that I expected.
Chiefs are 2.5-point favorites at home, but you know, pretty much a toss-up. I actually happen to think Dallas wins the game, too.
How about the Steelers and the Chargers? Now, where are we at on Ben Roethlisberger's health for this game? Because I don't think much of Ben Roethlisberger this season, as you know, but he is still a minimal upgrade over Mason Rudolph. As we saw, they tied the Lions when Roethlisberger didn't play. And Rudolph probably deserved to have a win on his ledger, but they fumbled inside the 50 like 3 times late in that game. Gross, rainy, cold game. But the Chargers have too much firepower, I would think, for this Pittsburgh offense to hang with them without Big Ben.
So this is, to me, about Pittsburgh's defense, and if whatever Pittsburgh mounts on offense, whoever's a quarterback, I don't know if it's going to be Roethlisberger or not. I should actually update my file there if he's going to be eligible to come back. But Rudolph stinks. Roethlisberger's just not any good at this point. If they could do a little bit on offense against the Chargers, who are vulnerable against the run and could be had a little bit, I think Pittsburgh can stay in this game.
We've gone AFC heavy here, so I'll just sneak one more in from the 1 o'clock slate if you're into this kind of thing. I think the Packers and the Vikings could be a lot of fun.
Me too.
That game has become almost a pick 'em.
1.5-point favorite for Green Bay on the road.
8-win Green Bay on the road against 4-win Minnesota, and odds makers are basically saying, we're not really sure. That's sneaky.
Yeah, they're like, what do you
suspicious.
Guys think? Yeah, same here.
Minnesota plays everybody really tight, and the Packers just have not been the best version of themselves. They also lost Aaron Jones. Now, you know, I don't trust the Vikings. I don't trust Zimmer, so I wouldn't bet on them to win that game. I got to assume Green Bay does, but I think it'll be a great game.
Green Bay's due for a bit of a letdown game, so I could see Minnesota desperate getting this one.
I'm desperate to talk to Nick Wilson, WFNZ in Charlotte. Let's figure out what he thinks is going to happen in Carolina this weekend on GND Next.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.